Started at Toroe, Northwest London, Wednesday, 9th of 7, 8th of June. Marina Rav, David Tugendhat, Schlita. Title of
The Agadata of Achitofel.
The Agadata of Achitofel. This week's Torah has been sponsored by family Silva Lunishmas, Tzipora Bas Moshe, Colonel Shalom, whose Yatzeit was yesterday.
Good morning, Rabbi Yossi. Great to be back with another day, the Torah way. I'd like to share with you this morning, Be'ezras Hashem, an explanation of a Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin, and in general to speak about the topic of Agadato. We know, as we go through the Gemara, that every now and again we come across these fantastic stories, these fantastic episodes, and how are we supposed to understand what's going on in all of these incredible Agadatas, how are we supposed to look at them, what is our perspective. The trigger that we will use in order to do that is a particular Agadata in Masechta Baba Basra Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. And there the Gemara is talking about the concept of a matnas shchiv meira. Nebuch, a person who thinks that they are about to leave this world, they're on their deathbed, and they give various different instructions, that these instructions that are given, even though they were not necessarily written down, and even though no kinyan was necessarily made, still these instructions have tremendous validity according to the halacha. So where do we know this concept of the matnas shchiv meira from? So the Gemara here in Baba Basra Kuf Mem Zayin gives a few sources for this, but I'd like to focus on one of these sources. Rami Bar Yecheskel Omar Mehocha. He says it's from the following place. It's from an episode in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Zayin, regarding Achitofel. Achitofel was one of the cleverest people ever. He was the head of the Sanhedrin, yet he sided against David HaMelech in that epic machlokes that there was when David HaMelech's son Avshalom rebelled. Chazal tell us that unfortunately Achitofel ended up going to Gehenim and he made some wrong decisions over here. But Achitofel, according to this explanation of the Gemara, is the source that we listen to a matnas shchiv meira. As it says, in Shmuel Beis Perek Yud Zayin, V'Achitofel ro'o ki lo ne'esesa atzosoy. Achitofel saw that his advice had not been listened to. V'yacha v'yishesach ha'moyer. So he saddled his donkey. V'yokom v'yelech al beisoy el iroy. So he saddled his donkey and he went back home to his city. V'yitzav al beisoy, and he instructed his household. V'yechonek, and he was strangled. And the Gemara there says, but Tzavo Ba'almo, you see that he instructed his household just merely verbally, and we follow his instruction. His family followed his instructions. So you see the Matzono of a Shchiv Meira is listened to. Now what is the context of that story over there? Avshalom, the son of David HaMelech, had rebelled. He felt he was ra'i to be the next Melech be Yisrael. And he had a large group of people who sided with him, including the great Achitofel. He also had one of David HaMelech's previous confidants, Hushai Ho'arki, who even he, the right-hand man of David HaMelech, had sided with his current nemesis, Avshalom. And they already had David HaMelech on the back foot. They had already won a battle against him. And now David HaMelech proverbially had his back against the wall. And the great Achitofel, the master strategist, who was always 10 steps ahead of everybody else in the chess game, he said, now is our chance that we can get rid of David HaMelech forever.
He was a grandmaster.
A grandmaster. What we need to do is we need to get a small army. 12,000 soldiers will be enough, which was relatively small. And now straight away we should go and get David HaMelech because he's already weakened from battle. And then we'll be able to win. And Avshalom had an idea to ask Hushai Ho'arki, what did he think about this plan? Hushai Ho'arki said, listen, I know David HaMelech. When his back is against the wall, he's like that bear who will fight with everything that he has because he knows that it's now or never. So now is not the right time to quickly spring a surprise, fast, flash attack against Dovid HaMelech with a mere 12,000 people. We need to get a much larger army. True, it will take us some time in order to be able to mobilize the masses, but it's worth it. Little did Avshalom know that Hushai HaArki was really on the side of Dovid HaMelech after all. And Hushai HaArki had not forsaken his beloved king, Dovid HaMelech. And he was a spy. He was an agent undercover with Avshalom. And he knew that this would give Dovid HaMelech time to escape. And he managed to relay a message to Dovid HaMelech. And in fact, Dovid HaMelech, the Malka Mashicha, went to live on. And of course, was not conquered over here by the plans of Achitofel and Avshalom, Dovid HaMelech's son. Now when Achitofel saw that his advice was not being listened to, how could it be my advice is not being listened to? The Grand Master, he could already see all of these stages in the future. He realized if he's not being listened to, then the tide has turned, the game is over, and he could see the writing on the wall. He could see that his days are numbered. He could see if they're not listening to me, I know Dovid HaMelech is going to win. If Dovid HaMelech wins, then he's going to come against me and he's going to kill me because I, Achitofel, was married by Malchus. If he comes against me and kills me, then all of my property is going to be confiscated by the king anyway, which is the halacha if somebody is killed as a result that they rebelled against the king. So therefore he decided to commit suicide, which of course is another wrong decision and is totally against halacha and is the wrong thing to do, but that's what he did. At least his family would be able to inherit his properties. This is based on the Malbim's explanation, the other Mefarshim over there.
Achitofel,
this master advisor, the head of the Sanhedrin. So this is what he did. But before he did, he gave his family three instructions. There were three things that he commanded his family. Don't be in a state of argument. Life's too short. Don't argue. Do not rebel against the Malchus based Dovid. I did, and look where it got me. Leave Dovid HaMelech. He is the Malka Mashicha. Leave him. Don't rebel against him. For Yom Tov Shel Atzeres Boror, and if Shavuos is clear, if there are clear skies, a sunny day on the Yom Tov of Atzeres, Zaru Chitim, then you should sow wheat. There's a slightly different version of this third instruction. Mar Zutra Omar Bol Itzmar. He said, if it's mixed, if there are some clouds, a little bit of sun, some clouds, then you should sow wheat. That's what you should do. And these were the instructions that Achitofel felt were important to give his family. Now, of course, the question begs itself. I can understand that he should tell his family, Al tiyu b'machloikas, don't be in a machloikas, which is something that every parent should tell their children. Don't be b'machloikas, it doesn't get you anywhere. I can understand that this is on his mind. Do not rebel against the Davidic dynasty. Malchus based Dovid, I tried. But this third piece of advice that he gives, if it's clear on Shavuos, so wheat, or if it's mixed on Shavuos, so wheat, how on earth are we supposed to understand this is really what's on his mind? This is a piece of information he feels should be perpetuated. This is the legacy to his family. What on earth is going on? So the Ben Yehoyada of Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, Zechus Yogan Olenu, has an incredible explanation for this Gemara, what is really going on over here. And he explains that this is an Agadatah, and there are certain things that these ideas represent, Shavuos being sunny, clear, or Shavuos being mixed, and sowing wheat, are actually metaphors for something else. Before we see the Ben Yoyodai's explanation to this sugya in Bo Abasra Kuf Mem Zayin, let's have a look at a Rashba in Masechta Brachos Perek Nun Dalet. There's an amazing sefer, the Rashba Perushei HaHagodos, which is brought out by the Mossad Rav Kook, the blue edition of the Rashbas that everybody uses. You see the Rashbas on all the different Masechtas, but often you see it that there's one volume which is missing from the set, which is the Rashba in his Pirushei HaAgadot, where he goes through a number of Agadotos in Shas, and he explains what is going on in these cryptic Agadotos. So he has a shtickel over here in Perek Haroya, Dafnun Dalet Omid Beis in Masechta Brachos, where he just gives a bit of a background as to how the Agadotah works. And he says, Techila Erich al Inyan HaAgadot Shebo B'Talmud of Medroshim. I'm going to explain and give you some fundamentals over here. Da, ki bo mehem beloshen amoik nasibais rabois. They are written in deep language for a variety of reasons. Ki le'itim timtzeim zal reimzim inyan poshet ma'oid oi she'ein tzeirich b'klal. Sometimes the Agadotahs are written and the message of the Agadotahs is something which is very straightforward, that actually you don't even need to have written it in such a veiled metaphor. But nevertheless, Chazal chose to write it in a very strange and deep way. Sometimes you'll think that what the Chazal are doing is writing a deep secret or something which needs to be hidden, but in fact that's not the case. Rather, there are three reasons why sometimes very, very straightforward ideas are written in a very, very veiled and cryptic way. Now, he does say that this is le'itim, sometimes. So, presumably, there are other times where there are deep secrets which are encoded in these Agadotahs. But not always. The Rashba, the Heiliger Rashba, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, is telling us that sometimes it's written in a veiled, cryptic way when it's really to tell us something very straightforward. So then why is it written in such a cryptic way? Raki le'itim yeitziyoi son beloshen zar ma'oid kdei lechadei de libois hatalmidim. Sometimes it's written in such a way, thank you, in order to sharpen the hearts of the Talmidim, so that they should not be used to learning in a superficial shkayach, in a superficial way. Thank you so much. It's in order lechadeid libay satalmidim, to sharpen their hearts. Don't look at things superficially. Things are written one way, but actually they are here to tell us. Here they're actually written to teach us something else. Don't be superficial. Always try and look deeper. Reason number two. V'oid k'dei la'aver eine hachasilim hamatilim ha'shibush b'divrei chachomim b'tchilas ha'mashovo b'tzei sadvarim b'geder ha'sogos ha'masichlam ha'mu'at. It's also a way to retain the exclusivity of the Torah Shebal Peh. It's a way of separating out who are the people who are ro'oy to learn Torah, and who are the people who are not? Who are those? They'll see something strange, and as soon as they see it, they just won't persevere. Yeshakayah, thank you so much. They won't persevere. They'll just give up, and they won't know what the keys are to be able to enter. So it's a way of separating the men from the boys. And he says, Ke'inyan shekosov, like the poskin, yeshayshay, yudalet, ki yeshorim darkei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are just and straight. The tzaddikim yelchu bom, upeishim yikoshlu bom. The tzaddikim will walk in these ways, however, the sinners will stumble on them. Ukvabia harav Rabbi Moshe zal shteh kavanos elu b'hagodes hanelomos b'psichas peirushe hamishnah shelay. And these two explanations, the idea of sharpening the hearts of the Talmidim and also retaining the exclusivity of the Torah so that it should only be taught to people who are ro'oy, the Rambam himself writes these two explanations in his Hakdoma to the Pirush HaMishnah. Then the Rashba gives a third explanation that is there to explain why the Agadotas are written like this. He says there's another one in some of the Medroshim, Ki le'itim hoyu chachomim dorishim barabim ma'arichin. Would you believe it? Sometimes there was a very long drosha. Sometimes they were darshaning, u'ma'arichim, and the shir went on. B'divrei to'eles, v'hoyu ha'om yeshenim. It was beneficial things, it was important things to teach, but the olam were shluffing. They were listening to the gedolei amiroyim, but the olam was shluffing. It makes me feel a lot better. Yeah? That even if amongst the gedolei tanoim amiroyim, there are people who are shluffing in their shir. So then, if people can shluff in that shir, then it makes me feel much better. There was one, I give shir very early in the morning. I have a 6:30 a.m. Omud Yomi Gemara shir, and late in the evening, a 9:45 Mishnah Berurah shir. There was one time in the nighttime shir, there were three people in the shir. I managed to say it in such a calm and relaxing way, yeah, that every single person in the shir, they were all shluffing. I felt, I thought that's a real madriga to be able to give a shir in such a in such a calm and relaxing way. I managed to get, I was scared at the end to finish. I didn't want to disturb them. So if it can happen to the gedolei amiroyim, it could happen to anyone. Yeah, it could happen to anyone. No magid shir should take it personally now. But please, if you could stay awake till the end of the shir, I'd be very grateful. So the Rashba says, kedei la'oyrom, in order to wake them up, ho'yoyrom lem devarim zorim, so the magid shir, the Baalei HaTalmud would say to them unusual things to surprise them. B'sheis oiru mishanosom, to release a little bit of adrenaline so that they should wake up. Vezua, see, this was before coffee was widespread. Yeah, this was, they needed to use these techniques. And he says, this is what's going on the Pasuk where it says, Hinoch Yofer Rayosi, where the Medrash Shir Ashirim says, that Rebbe said there was a woman in Mitzrayim who gave birth to 600,000 children in one go. And they all said, what's going on? And his Talmud, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, says, really, who was that? And he said, this was Yecheved. Yecheved gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's equivalent to everybody else, Oz Yashir Moshe of Bnei Yisrael. So he was just saying it there in order to wake the Chevra up, give the Chevra a bit of energy. So that's why. So these are the three reasons that the Rashba says, why it is that the Agadotas are written often in these ways that are difficult to understand, even though the message is very straightforward. Back to Baba Basra, Kuf Mem Zayin. What was Achitofel trying to do over here? So the Ben Yoyada explains as follows. He says that Doyug and Achitofel were two heads of the Sanhedrin, and they both of them were against David HaMelech, and they sided with those who fought against David HaMelech, but for different reasons. Doyug was against David HaMelech because of the drosha, those who were doing Daf Yomi in Yuvamos, Mo'avi v'lo Mo'avis. Doyug said that David HaMelech was not roi to be king because he came from Rus, and Rus was a Moavis. She was somebody who had come from Moav, and surely people from Moav were not entitled to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. But there was a drosha which was still pending at the time, which is it Davka, the men, who were not allowed to join, or even the women? And in the end, it was Paskand, only Moavi v'lo Moavis. The females from Moav were allowed to join Klal Yisrael. But Doyeg had argued on that fact, And Doeg was against David HaMelech for that reason. However, Achitofel was against David HaMelech for a different reason. Achitofel was against David HaMelech because of the Maisa with Uriah and Bathsheba. David HaMelech had seen Bathsheba and he desired to marry her. And Bathsheba was married to Uriah. Uriah was in David HaMelech's army. And Uriah, whilst Uriah was still alive, David HaMelech had relations with Bathsheba. The Zohar HaKadosh, the Mefarshim explain that there's a very long discussion exactly what the precedent is to such a thing. How could David HaMelech do this? Was there any halachic justification for him to? Was there any reason, al pisoid, hashkafic reasons why he was doing it? Deeper reasons why he was doing it? And this is a very, very big discussion, how David HaMelech could do this. But David HaMelech ended up marrying Bathsheba, having relations and ultimately marrying Bathsheba. At the beginning, her husband Uriah was still alive. He was killed later in battle. And she was remaining with David HaMelech as a wife. And that was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech, who would ultimately be king. Achitofel said, this is unacceptable. This is incorrect. This was, as far as he could perceive, this was Gilei Arayos. Uriah was still alive. And that's why Achitofel was against David HaMelech. Now the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos Daf Nun Vav, anyone who says, anyone who thinks that David HaMelech sinned, is making a big mistake. Because really, he was allowed to take Bathsheba, because the Gemara there says that the soldiers, the Yiddish soldiers, before they went out to war, they would give a get to their wives, lest they be lost in battle. In which case, their wives would be agunos, wouldn't be able to remarry. And for that reason, they were given a get before they went out to battle. There's a machlekas Rashi and Tosfos over there. Was it a get al tanai? Rashi says it was only al tanai. And if they would die, then retroactively they would be divorced from the time they gave the get. And if they would live, then they weren't divorced. Tosfos argues, and he says, no, this was a bona fide get. They gave them a complete get. And it was only if afterwards that they would, if they would come back from battle, then they would remarry their wives. So it's Machlekes Rishonim over there. exactly what was the nature of this get that was given. Now, if the Gemara says,
so why did they need to remarry?
So according to the ones who say it was Al-Tanai, they did not need to remarry. But according to the ones who say it was not Al-Tanai, which is Tosfos, they gave them a proper divorce, a proper get, and then they would need to remarry.
Is it practically what happened?
Yes, and that is exactly what happened over there. Now still, it says that David HaMelech, the Drosha Soran Drushvov, said that David HaMelech says, I did an Aveira. The Novi says, you did an Aveira. But it wasn't an Aveira the way that we would have understood it from reading it superficially. Rather, on his Madrega, says the Drosha Soran, on his Madrega there was some degree of Aveira that was going on over here, but not the way that we see it. So now let's bring this all together. Achitofel sees the tide is turning. He sees that Avshalom listened to the advice of Hushai Ha'arki. He saw that they're not listening to me. I'm the master strategist. I would be able to win this battle against David HaMelech. If they're not listening to me, then I know that my days are numbered. But moreover, it must be that David HaMelech was vindicated after all. If I was against him because I thought that because of the Maisa of Bathsheba, he was not eligible to be king, and Shlomo HaMelech was ineligible to be king, and it should be Avshalom. Now that I see things are changing, and Avshalom is not listening to me, it must be that David HaMelech was correct after all, and I was wrong about him. And really, it was okay what he did. He didn't do an Aveira after all, though I had thought he did do an Aveira. So therefore, There's no point in me arguing against this. I see that David HaMelech is right. But how will this be proven? How is there any way to prove whether David HaMelech was right or not? So that's a Gemara in Masech de Kiddushin. It says in Masech de Kiddushin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mamali Shnei Seim Shel Tzadikim Miyoyim Liyoyim O Mei Chodesh L'Chodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes Tzadikim to die on the same day that they were born. Why is that? The whole purpose of life is to achieve Shleimus. We're supposed to try and be Sholem in every way. There are all these battles that we contend with, all these Nisyonos. If a person manages to overcome all of these challenges, they are the Odom HaSholem, they are perfected. Hashem illustrates, he shows that by a person dying on their birthday that they lived complete years. So Achitofel is saying, if David HaMelech dies on the same day that he is born, if then there will be clarity, then it will be clear that he was really right. Not just because I, the master strategist, sees a few steps in advance, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his shtempel to show that David HaMelech was right after all. And if that is the case, then that will be proven that you should make peace with David HaMelech. What is the symbol of peace in the Torah? What imagery is there for Sholem? So people think a rainbow. Yeah, that's from Noach. That's the B'nai Noach. That's the olive branch. Yeah, the olive branch is a symbol. That's not what the Gemara says in Brochas Daf Nun Zayin. Om Rabbi Chamo Bar Abba Horei Chitim B'chaloyim Re'ei Sholem. If you see wheat, then you should expect peace. Shenemar says Hasom Gvurei Sholem. Hashem puts your borders as peace. Chel Chitim Yaspiach. He satiates you with the fat of the wheat. Wheat symbolizes Geshmak, you've had, you're full, you're satiated, you are at peace. So wheat is the symbol of peace. So now that we know that Hashem is Mamalish Neseim Shel Tzadikim, he shows that he's a tzaddik by making him die on his birthday, and we know that wheat is a sign of peace, let's now conclude by rereading this Gemara in Bava Basra Kuf Mem Zayin. He commanded his sons three things. Don't be in a state of argument. Do not rebel against the Malchus Beis David. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, if it's Boror, if that provides clarity, what clarity? That David HaMelech will die on Shavuos, which is the day that he was born. Or, according to the other version, if it's a bottle, if it's mixed, what is the mixture? Not just the clouds. The mixture is it's a day, not just when he comes to the world, but it's also the day that he leaves the world. Then zaruchitim, then you should sow wheat. Then it will be clear, not just to me, but it will be clear to all of you that David HaMelech was correct after all. And he really is the Malka Mashiach. And he really is totally eligible to be king. And I was wrong after all. And I made a huge mistake, whether it was my own Nagias, whatever was the reason, but I completely, completely missed it. And therefore, David, Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom, David should really be the king. And this is what's going on in the episode of Achitofel. And this is what's going on, an insight into the whole concept of Agadata. Yehi Rotzein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that we should see the day when Zaroi Shel David, the Melech HaMashiach, should come and everybody should acknowledge the MS of David HaMelech, of Malchus Beis David, the MS of the Torah and the MS of Klal Yisrael. We should all be Zeichet HaGulos and Yeshuos with Mashiach Tzidkeinu Meher V'Yomeinu Amen. Yeah.
Amen.